on the Rock Station, 97.7.
Indeed, it is Slippery Rock football as they are getting ready to take on their rivals, IUP. We're just 8 minutes away from kickoff. Glenn Thompson has made it down to the field where he is with the head ball coach, Sean Lutz.
Getting set for kickoff between IUP and Slippery Rock, joined right now by Rock head coach Sean Lutz. Coach, big game, always circled on the calendar each year. Let's start with the injury update for your squad before we get started here.
Yeah, we got Tara King coming back as our backup quarterback this week. Wes Hills is again healthy this week. Chris Larson will try to play. And really, that's about it. Katie Roberts is still out. So we're pretty healthy right now at this point where we're at halfway during the season.
One of the biggest rivals for your team each year. What's the mentality of your team before kickoff here today? How are they feeling?
Hey, you know what? We're ready to go. I mean, this is why you play the game. I mean, we're a type of program. We believe we can win. Anytime we go on the field, we believe we can win. All I want our guys to lay it on the line for 60 minutes and play the best we can possibly be. And I like our chances. You know, it's a great football team. It's a great challenge and opportunity. But we're not scared by any means. We're going to play a relentless style of a physicality type of football game. We're going to lay it on the line. And at the end, if we're on that scoreboard as the winning team, that's what we expect.
You talk about playing a full 60 minutes, maybe none so more important than the first 15. IUP winning the first quarter 76-7 so far this season. Big first frame for your team here today.
Yeah, you got to start out fast, especially at their place, homecoming game and stuff like that. But there's going to be a lot of ups and downs in this game. You got to find out. There's going to be momentum shifts. You got to see if you can weather the storms when they go on the momentum run and get those stops. And you're right, how we start out, we got to start fast. And we've done that in the last couple of weeks, which has been good for us. But a good quality team like that, we can't turn over the football, and let's hope we don't have over 100 yards penalties. We can't have that either.
Coach, it's going to be a great game. You got a beautiful day for it. Good luck against IUP.
I appreciate it. Go Rock.
So the head ball coach saying Chris Larson will get the start, and it was of much discussion heading into the week whether or not the left tackle would be ready to go for the Rock, and right here before kickoff, it seems like all systems are go. I'm sure it may be a touch-and-go situation, but the Rock now with an offensive line that is about as healthy as it's been all season long, with now Larson at the left tackle. You've got Ryan Pogorski at left guard, Austin Waite, the center, Colton Robb, the Slippery Rock product at right guard, and Steve Gaviglia at right tackle for this Rock team, and the offensive line versus the defensive line really going to be the matchup to watch, as Lutz telling us earlier in the week that the defensive ends for IUP really the guys that do the damage. DeAndre Easterling, he'll be on the left side, and Dondrea Tillman, he'll be on the right side, running a 4-3 set for this IUP defense, which Paul Tortorella has had heavy involvement in. He was a former defensive coordinator before taking over for Kurt Cignetti at the head position. Cignetti leaving 2 years ago to take the head job at Elon University, and it was all successful really in the first season for Tortorella. No loss until the postseason. This was the first regular season loss last week for Tortorella at the helm of the IUP program. A big loss to Cal. So now the PSAC really wide open when you take a look at it. The PSAC West, I should say. With Slippery Rock, they are still undefeated in conference play. You have IUP now with one loss. Clarion, I believe, is still undefeated in conference play. And then you have Cal undefeated in conference play as well. So this is a big swing week as Glenn Thompson has rushed back up here into the press box. I mean, you want to talk about, of course, the nature of the rivalry between IUP and Slippery Rock, but when you add in the fact that this is really a make-or-break game, especially for IUP when it comes to their chances to win the PSAC West, that really makes the stakes even higher.
You're talking about an IUP team that came into this season with divisional championship aspirations, mm-hmm. conference championship aspirations, and national championship aspirations. Yeah. And now here we are, middle of October. If they get another loss, then all of that is out the window. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I really don't think in Super Region 1 that you're going to have a two-loss team make the playoffs for the D2 national playoffs this year. So this is a huge game for IUP and for Slippery Rock, because they do also have one loss on their record, mm-hmm. too. So if they're also still eyeing up that national playoff berth, they have to avoid the second loss. So really, whoever comes out on the short end of the stick today, really takes a huge hit to their postseason plans.
I mean, this was an IUP team that was ranked number 2 in the country heading into last week. A loss there knocks them back to number 14, number 13 in different polls. So either way, they're taking about 10 steps back in the overall rankings. But obviously, the number 2 team in the country, that's no small feat. This is a really good IUP football team.
You almost wonder, though, is is maybe IUP a little overrated, or was Cal that good? And that's also scary to think about because you still have Cal on the schedule coming up here in a few weeks. So, you know, by all means, IUP is a phenomenal football team. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you heard Coach Sean Lutz talk a little about it in the pregame. What I like about the way IUP plays football is that they play man-to-man defense. They're just going to line up. They have 11 guys on the field, 11 individual jobs. If everyone goes out and executes, then they win the play. Mm-hmm. And if you win the play, you go out and you try to win the next play. And you try to work your way through the game that way. And that's the way IUP plays, is we're going to go out with 11 guys. Each one of you knows your job. Execute. Mm-hmm. And then we'll reset for the next play. And so they're a very tough physical opponent, but they can be beat. And especially, I think, in that man defense, you know, if you can really start to move the ball quickly against IUP, get some tempo, maybe you get them to fall back into a zone at that point as opposed to playing their traditional man.
And this is where Roland Rivers' accuracy may come into play.
Yes.
Those short underneath routes, those timing routes, if they're an issue today, that means those one-on-one coverages are going to have to be won over the top, and I don't know if that's something that the Slippery Rock staff wants to get into a battle with IUP.
You know, it's Slippery Rock can throw the football deep, no doubt about it. They have some talented receivers on the outside. But really, to have success with that, you need to come out and have success with the short passing game first. That way you start getting those corners and those safeties to start cheating up on the line of scrimmage a little bit. Then all of a sudden you can start exploiting them downfield a little bit. So that's why I keep saying it, and I hate to sound like a broken record, but, man, the first quarter is so big today. Not only because IUP is really good in the first quarter, but I think there's so much that Slippery Rock is going to try to set up for later in the game that they have to have success with in the first quarter.
And we somehow have gone this entire pregame show, I believe, without mentioning Lenny Williams Jr., the quarterback for IUP. This guy's a
player. He's been here for 10 years. I feel like he's been at IUP forever, but yeah. That guy knows how to extend the play, and that's what's dangerous, especially in the college ranks, actually in any level of football. Whenever your quarterback can extend the play, get out of the pocket, because what's beautiful about Lenny Williams is that he does not typically look to run. He keeps his eyes downfield. Mm-hmm. So if he extends the play, gets out of a pocket, scrambling towards the sideline, he's still scanning the field, and that's whenever coverage can break down. All of a sudden, if now you have a linebacker cheating up because you're worried about him running, if you have a safety losing track of a defender, Lenny Williams is going to pop one big over top.
Talking to Coach Lutz before this game, you know, during the week, mentioning that they wanted to have an aggressive attitude on defense against IUP. And, you know, I was curious, okay, you know, what's the thinking here? Let's go after him, force him to make plays, try to get pressure, or are you more comfortable sitting back and saying, you beat us? Which way, I mean, I think we're going to see an aggressive Slippery Rock defense here. I just wanted to get your opinion on what your MO would be there.
I'd rather see them get after him and try to really, you know, let's put it this way. I'd rather see a commitment to stopping the run early and forcing Lenny Williams to beat you with his arm. And granted, in last season's game, Lenny Williams, 23 of 28 for 225 yards and 3 touchdowns, 82% completion percent. Great stat line. Mm-hmm. That's not the norm for him.
Yeah.
So I think you try to get him to do that exact same thing again, see if he can do it again this year. And so really be committed to stopping the run and make Lenny Williams try to air it out.
Well, both teams just heading onto the field now as we get ready for kickoff. It will be the Rock kicking to IUP, and they've got their returners in, some threats. They're dual players. You've got number 34, Dwine Walls, back there, along with number 83, Kashaw Carter. These guys are very dangerous threats, and, of course, special teams always playing a major role in any game, but I think it's going to be vital here today.
Well, you look at the return game for both these teams. I mean, both these teams have explosive players in the backfield to return punts and kicks. So, yeah, special teams, the ability to get your offense set up with great starting field position is going to be pivotal today.
Well, it will be Jake Chaplin doing the kicking duties for the Rock. The Plum grad wearing number 99 as a Rocker in the away whites with the green lettering IUP in the maroon, or crimson, I guess we should say, home jerseys in the gray pants. And we are underway as Chaplin's kick goes left to right. It is Walls returning in at the one-yard line. He sprints up the middle, gets past the 20. Juke move on the inside, gets to the 25. Spin move brought down just shy of the 30-yard line. And actually, they're going to mark it right at the 30. It'll be a first down and 10, and here comes Lenny Williams.
Nice job by Dakota Clannigan watching him coming down. He was right on the hash mark, so stayed in his seam on the coverage, got off his block, and got over there and made the tackle. That's the biggest thing on kickoff coverage, is you want to stay in your seams until it's time to make the tackle. So stayed put, got off his block, made a tackle, and 30-yard line, not bad.
The Stow Rocks alum, Lenny Williams, also a transfer from Temple University, so he's been at the Division I level and now commanding this great IUP offense. They come out in the shotgun. Hard count, Williams, play action. Pocket looking, looks left side, finds his man, and it is caught and brought down at the 40-yard line. On the reception is number 4, Don McNeil.
So first play from scrimmage, you see Slippery Rock come out in man defense instead of dropping back into his zone. They were straight man across the field on that one, and the slot receiver winning that matchup against Kyle Hall.
Different look for the Rock defense this time around is Mercier's pro style, IUP more the traditional air raid that you see a lot at the D2 level. That'll be a handoff this time and met by a number of white jerseys as Justice Evans, and that will go for a loss, Glenn. Let's say about 4 yards there.
Yeah, nice job that time coming right up the gut from that middle linebacker spot. Tim Burnick doing a good job of controlling the gaps. You're going to see that a lot with these linebackers today, is that on each play they have their assignment, A gap, B gap, which one are they plugging? Tim Burnick fires right through his, good gap control, and makes the tackle.
Second down, and we'll call it 14 ball at the IUP 38-yard line. Williams in the shotgun. It's a toss play to Evans, right side. He's got room to run. Sprints through the gap. Picks up about, let's call it 9 yards before being brought down on the other side of the 45. So now a third and manageable for IUP, but a big third down nonetheless.
Could have been a big third down loss, actually. Trey Blanford from the defensive end position just stretching out there in a little high step by the running back. Gets him upfield beyond Blanford, but still a good hustle play.
Third down and 5, 3 wide receiver set for the Crimson Hawks. They may have got the rock to jump. Flag is out. Williams may take a shot deep. He is scrambling. Rolls to his left. Asks for a receiver to come back, and the pass is complete. On the reception is Zach Kelly, and it gets down to the 30-yard line of the Rock. IUP taking advantage of a mistake and moving the chains.
Yeah, just a veteran move there by Lenny Williams, seeing that they got the defense to jump offside, so it's a free play. Take a shot. He's directing traffic. You saw him kind of pointing it out. You even called it out during the play call there. And gets a wide receiver to break free, and they get a big gainer out of it. So really smart veteran move by Lenny Williams keeping that play going.
So now will be a first down and 10 for IUP. Third down conversion rate on the season for the Crimson Hawks, 44%. They improve on that now with a first and 10 at the Rock 30. Shotgun set. Evans is the sidecar to Williams right. Snap. Handoff, Evans up the middle, brought down. Tristan McDonald in on the tackle, but not before a gain of 4 yards, bringing up a second and 6.
Going to have to keep a little bit more discipline by the ends right now, because on that play there, both defensive ends, everybody collapsed towards the middle. If Lenny Williams pulled that one back, he had nothing but green grass in front of him. So on those zone reads, keep an eye on Lenny Williams in the backfield as well.
Second and 6, 2 wide receivers to Williams right on the far side of the field. Shotgun set. Williams, play action, looking to his right. It is a slot pass, and the pass is complete. On the reception is McNeil. Makes the first defender miss. Loses the ball as he rolls out of bounds, but it's down to the Slippery Rock 7-yard line, first and goal.
Yeah, right now they're picking on that matchup of the slot versus the safety, Kyle Hall. And right now, you're going to have to get Kyle Hall to get up close to the line of scrimmage. He's given way too much cushion right now, and they have those free underneath routes on those quick outs right now. So Kyle Hall, if they're going to stick with this man defense, he's got to get up to the line of scrimmage a little bit more.
Scoreless game on the first drive, 12 minutes to go in the first, but IUP knocking on the doorstep at the Rock 8-yard line. It's Williams now, shotgun set. He'll take it himself. Draw play up the middle. Juke move, but he's brought down in on the tackles. Dalton Holt for the Rock right around the 5-yard line, so a pickup of 2 or 3.
Yeah, Dalton Holt from that safety spot, that free safety spot, more so a spy on that play, because down here in the red zone, you see a lot of these spread offenses with design quarterback runs. So what you want is your free safety as a quarterback spy being the one to stop the run. So Dalton Holt doing a good job staying disciplined on that play and making the tackle.
Now still in the shotgun formation, second down, goal to go at the 5. Man in motion is Evans. He's coming out to the left. It's a swing pass that is thrown over top of the head. Actually, excuse me, that was Chris Temple who was coming out of the backfield. So now we've got a third down and goal as the swing route didn't work.
Yeah, they run a little stunt with Brad Zaffram on the outside as he came on a delayed blitz around the end, and nobody picked him up. He had a free shot, so Lenny Williams tried to hang in there as long as he could, but the pressure forced him to get rid of that ball a little sooner than he wanted to.
Big third down for the Rock here. Could either be a touchdown or 3 points is the difference that we're looking at in the opening drive. 11:40 to go. The clock stop after the incompletion. No score. Our third down ball at the 5. Williams in the shotgun. 3 wide receivers set to his left on the far side of the field. Williams one-on-one over top, and it is over the head of the intended target, Ricky Rogers, the transfer from West Virginia. That will bring up a fourth down, and Tortorella will send out the kick team.
Great job by DeVegian Franklin on the outside in the coverage there, man-to-man, and did a great job of not holding, just kind of keeping that right arm right on, or right hand right on the wide receiver to keep him bodied up the whole way. Forces Lenny Williams to really throw that ball over the top, and try to make the wide receiver make a great catch. So nice defense there on the outside.
Looking about a 20-yard chip shot here for Dylan Sarka. He's the place kicker for the Crimson Hawks. And the snap is clean. Kick is up. That kick is good. And the Crimson Hawks with a 3-0 lead, but the Rock avoid pay dirt from IUP. And so, with 11:32 to go in the first, IUP leading the Rock 3-0. We'll be back. You're listening to Slippery Rock Football on the Rock Station 97.7.
Did you hit a deer, or did a deer hit you, or did you hit something else trying to miss a deer? No matter how it happened, keep Lutz Automotive in mind for your vehicle repairs. Located 1 mile north of Branston Road on Route 8 in Slippery Rock, Mark and Jared handle mechanical, collision, and bodywork, along with minor repairs, too. They're also great at VW and Subaru timing chains. So for everything automotive, trust Lutz Automotive. Call them today, 724-794-2255.
The Rock Station and Rock Football on 97.7.
Well, it was a drive that started at the IUP 30 and resulted in 3 points off the leg of Dylan Sarka. And as you said right before the break, that's a win for the Rock defense.
Absolutely. You had a really good-looking drive panning out for IUP offensively on the very first possession. And for them to go that far, cover that much ground, and only walk away with 3 points, that's a win for Slippery Rock.
And the kickoff underway. On the receiving end of it is Mark Carter for the Rock, and he gets out just shy of the 20-yard line before being brought down by a sprinting IUP defender in Ryan Hoff.
And he's a little slow to get up, too. He'll get up and get off on his own, not limping or anything. But, yeah, that was definitely a full-speed collision there. But anyway, what I was going to say was, you look back, a few years ago, whenever Slippery Rock was making some nice runs in the D2 playoffs, that was their style of defense. They gave up a lot of yardage, but they didn't give up a lot of points. And so that's why they were so good. It was that bend and not break. So good to see that come back here on that first possession.
And for the first time today, we see Roland Rivers, the quarterback for Slippery Rock. He is a transfer from Valdosta State, a native of Ellenwood, Georgia. They clear the backfield, and it's a quarterback keeper. Rivers up the middle on the other side of the 20-yard line before being brought down. Gain of three.
So interesting, they motion Wes Hills out of the backfield trying to read the man. Did you see nobody went with him? IUP was in zone on that first play. So a little interesting to see that they come out in zone defensively, because nobody went with Wes Hills on the motion to the outside. They were all staying put.
So we're looking at a 2nd and 7 now. Rock 23-yard line. They hand it off to Hills. Hills up the middle, makes the first guy miss on the other side of the first down. Chains and a first down for the Rock.
The ability to use the left hand and keep himself off the turf and get another 3 yards, which was what he needed to get the first down. Great run by Wes Hills and just not giving up on it.
It's his ability not to go down after the first hit is remarkable. First down and 10, ball at the 32. Rivers in the pocket. It'll be a handoff. No, Rivers will keep it. Rolling to his right. Litwin with a hold as Rivers goes out of bounds, close to the first down marker, but this one appears to be coming back.
I mean, it was a good battle on the outside. Yeah, you called it. It was Henry Litwin and Anya Tonwu on the outside.
You said that I didn't have to.
So I thought it was a good battle. It looked like a good block to me. As soon as Rivers got the edge, you saw Litwin let go of him. Tough call.
Yeah, holding is it's such a subjective thing. You know, you and I can look at it from here, and maybe our angle's different than the guy on the field, but again, another Rock penalty.
But in football everywhere, you can call holding on every single down.
That happened right in front of the IUP bench. Not saying that factored into the call, but sometimes that doesn't hurt. First down and a long way to go for Rivers. He's in the pocket, checks down to Hills. Right side, again, spin move to make the first tackler miss. Gets back to the 30-yard line, which will bring up a second down and 12.
Yeah, they were trying to pop one deep to Henry Litwin, and a nice job of just checking down by Rivers, finding Wes Hills out of the backfield. Again, this is tough man-to-man defense that you're going to see from IUP today, although it was looks like it's been mostly zone so far. They're running a lot of two deep zone right now.
Second down and 12, ball at the Rock 30. Rivers quarterback, handoff. No, it's again RPO across the middle. They find Henry Litwin, who gets on the other side of the first down marker across the 45-yard line, and a first down for the Rock.
So if you're going to face two safeties, the middle of the field is where you attack, because those safeties are going to help defend the sidelines, which means they're going to vacate the middle of the field. So if they're going to continue to show you those two safeties deep, then you continue to attack in between the hash marks.
Rivers now with a new sidecar in Braden Fuffman, the backup running back today, but the starter a few weeks ago. He has looked nice so far for the Rock in the short goings of this early season. Rivers now, pocket, play action, looking, plenty of time. Now deciding to scramble as he was facing pressure from behind, and the throw falls incomplete, and we've got a late flag.
That's
going to
go against IUP. It's going to go against IUP, number 90, Dylan Scott, as he had hold of Colton Robb's face mask and was just kind of ripping him around well after the play was over. So back judge is standing right there, makes the call.
And we've got an injured Rock, and it appears to be Chris Larson, who got the start today despite an injury. They weren't sure if he was going to be able to go, and he's down, and he looks like he's in some pain right now.
Yeah, he's been they've had such a hard time finding some stability at that left tackle spot, which for a right-handed quarterback is your blind side. Mm-hmm. So such a pivotal role in the offensive line. And see him go down early in this game, that's big, especially against these talented defensive ends for IUP.
Let's see if we can get a call here. Have they made the call yet?
Not yet. Here we go.
After the play was over, unsportsmanlike conduct, defense number 90, 15-yard penalty, first down.
So there you go, unsportsmanlike conduct, 15 yards for the Rock. That now puts them in IUP territory. They trail 3-0, 9:16 to go, and it will be a first and 10 officially at the 38-yard line of the Crimson Hawk.
Slippery Rock trying to take a deep shot on that last play, but again, the coverage was terrific downfield. So forced into a sack, luckily get bailed out with a penalty.
Four wide receivers set for the Rock. Rivers receives the snap. He'll take it himself, moving to the right, brought down by, on the tackle was Nick Amendola. Rivers got one, maybe one and a half.
Amendola made the tackle on the swing pass earlier to Wes Hills, too, so he's made two really good open field tackles against these ball carriers. A sound linebacker there for IUP.
And Rivers does a nice job with this RPO-style offense. He holds it in the breadbasket until the last minute. Rivers now will go back to pass. Quick check down finds Henry Litwin. Litwin on the other side of the 30, brought down at the 27-yard line. Should be enough to move the chains for the Rock. Indeed it is. It's another first down for Slippery Rock.
Interesting matchup on that play, too, because they left Will Mayer, the defensive end, locked up one-on-one with Wes Hills. And Wes Hills made a great block to give time for Rivers to stand in that pocket and deliver a strike.
Rivers now sidecar to his left is Wes Hills. That'll be a handoff to Hills up the middle, but he is met by the front four of IUP. Got back to the line of scrimmage. Actually, they're going to say he got 2 yards. He just falls forward.
Yeah, and you know that's an intangible. You can't coach that. You can't coach the ability to just know that, okay, if I'm locked up, I'm at least falling forward and keeping my momentum and getting some yardage. You know, it's those kind of things that throughout the course of a game, Tyler, as opposed to a no gain, those two-yard gains add up.
Hills in the backfield. Jermaine Wynn is the man in motion. Comes across the line. Rivers receives the snap. Pump fakes a screen. Now looking across the middle. Finds Mike Merhot, who makes the first guy miss. Gets inside the 5-yard line. A first down and goal to go for the Rock. A nice pass from the quarterback.
A ton of eye candy on that play as they're putting the man in motion. And then the little pump fake by Roland Rivers out to Wynn in the motion. It looks like it's going to be set up as a screen. And you get the whole IUP defense cheating towards the Slippery Rock sideline, and all of a sudden, on a quick little post coming in behind him, is Mike Merhot.
Well, Slippery Rock will load up the backfield. No wide receivers on this particular set. A three-man backfield. Rivers receives the snap. He's going to take it himself. Cuts back up the middle and into the end zone for a Slippery Rock touchdown.
The whole design of that play is actually to stretch it out. He's got three lead blockers out in front of him, but nice job by the interior of the offensive line of opening up a gaping hole. I mean, you and I could see that easily from up here. And so Roland Rivers plants his foot in the turf, cuts up field, and gets the touchdown. So nice read by Rivers.
Great first drive. Yes. Aided a little bit in part by an IUP penalty, but it's a 6-3 lead right now for the Rock. Jake Chaplin on to kick the extra point. I'm not going to put the announcer's jinx on, but let's just say he's been really, really good in his career. It'll be Chaplin, the left-footed kicker. The kick is up. And that kick is right down the middle. And so the Rock take a 7-3 lead at IUP. We'll be back as you are listening to Slippery Rock Football on The Rock Station 97.7.
Negley's Bottled Water and Coffee Service is very proud to announce their partnership with Pioneer. Pioneer is the first of its kind whole house lead and cyst removal system. This is powerful news for you and your
just
family.
This one, Glax.
You've heard the reports. Communities everywhere are being affected by concentrations of lead in the water. Don't take chances with you or your family's health. Call Negley's today for a water consultation at 724-282-6160. Not only does Pioneer remove heavy metals such as lead, it also removes and reduces chlorine, chloramine, and other harmful contaminants in your water. Call Negley's Bottled Water and Coffee Service today. The Pioneer Whole House Lead Removal System only at Negley's.
Slippery Rock offensive lineman Christopher Larson, Mary McDowell. Let's go Rock.
This is Dakota Clannigan, Slippery Rock University, and you're listening to Rock Football.
On The Rock Station, 97.7.
Well, the Rock matriculating the ball down the field. It began at the 20-yard line, and they were able to get it into the end zone to find pay dirt, aided in part by an IUP penalty. Also, though, of note, Chris Larson going down on that drive. Again, we saw that he was coming into this game on the injury report, got the start, but unfortunately for him and this Rock offense, he went down. Looks like he re-aggravated that foot injury.
We'll keep an eye on him and see what's going on, but I'm more impressed by your usage of matriculated.
I believe that's a Bermanism,
that
I think, at some
fantastic.
Point.
Fantastic.
Chaplow with the kick, moving left to right on the receiving end of it is Dwayne Walls. He gets it out the 1 yard line, sprints up the middle, makes at least one man miss, and just gets across the 20 yard line before being brought down by Horizon Sanders. There it is.
Yeah,
and we do have some laundry on the field,
by
the way.
And thank goodness, because if Sanders didn't get him, this whole sideline was open up, and there was going to be a big return coming up there. But maybe even it looks like it was going to be all for naught anyway because of a flag.
They were going to get an illegal block in the back against IUP, so that will march them back and put them into some precarious starting territory.
I wish the band would stop playing so I can hear the officials. Please.
Yeah. Band gets their own personal
playing a marching band at a football game. Come on.
You're a purist, aren't you? Bigger fan of the Teddy Roosevelt days. It's IUP now. Lenny Williams back on the field. First down and 10. It's officially marked at the 11-yard line. It's pretty much the 10-yard line, I suppose. It's back there. They are in the shadow of their own goalpost, and they are ready to go. They found a field goal on the last drive, got down to the 5-yard line, weren't able to get it into the end zone. We'll see what's in store for the Crimson Hawks on this drive. Williams with his sidecar, Justin Evans. Two wide receivers to his right, a slot man to his left. It's a handoff to Evans. He bounces it to the outside, but the Rock are able to swarm to him quickly. A gain of 6 yards for Evans. A nice little burst on the first down.
Yeah, terrific footwork by Evans as he bounced that one out. But even better job by the Rock secondary of getting up there in run support and making the tackle.
Second down and 4. Ball at the IUP 16. Again, 3 wide receiver set. Evans, the man in the backfield for Williams. Williams on the hard count. Don't know if
Rock
went offside, but Williams goes over the top, and it's picked off. There for the Rock to take it away was Kyle Hall. Hall now working his way back to the middle of the field, now to the left side, 15 yards before being pushed out of bounds. We do have a late flag, but it looks like this turnover will stand. You wonder maybe if Williams thought he had the offsides penalty when he chucked it deep.
Yes, I think he did. I mean, that seemed like his impression was that he was just ready to fire one downfield, but I mean, to me, Tyler Priestnap, that looked like that was an offsides, but apparently the Rock defender got back in time, and because of that, IUP takes a shot downfield, and it's going to be coming back the other direction. Still going to be great field position. Looks like there's going to be some type of blocking infraction against Slippery Rock on the return, but you're going to have the ball right around the 30 or 35.
Well, let's see what the official call is here.
So they're going to get Zaffram on the illegal block below the waist. And, you know, probably what they're going to call is that if you got someone who's way out of the play and you just run up to him and chop his legs off from underneath him, they're going to call a 15-yard penalty on that. You know, there's really no sense in trying to injure somebody's knee. I'm not saying you're trying to injure him, but, you know, just why? So they tack on 15 yards, but still well inside IUP territory.
Yeah, the senior captain for the Rock, Kyle Hall, playing takeaway after a pass that was floated too high for Williams' intended target, will set the Rock up at the 37-yard line. Rivers gets it, hands it off to Hill, stretching it to the left side. Stiff arm to make a man miss, goes out of bounds, but we've got another flag down in the area of holding.
It's in the area of holding, but there's no IUP player there.
I mean, seriously, they threw the flag, and it landed at the feet of two Slippery Rock players standing by themselves.
Holding.
Call holding. We got Austin Waite.
The center called for some habeas gravis, and that will march Slippery Rock back 10 yards from the spot of the foul, which was right at the line of scrimmage.
So there's the stuff that now it starts to drive you crazy, because you have a huge splash play, and now at the end of that one and here on this play, you've gone back 25 yards.
Yeah. I mean, you had an interception. Had it was a clean reception, would be right around the 15-yard line now at the 47. Rivers in the pocket. Strong throw to the side. Brought in by... No, they're going to say Carnell Harley was not able to complete the catch. It was awfully close to coming down with a completion.
Boy, that's a tough throw for a quarterback to make from the far hash to the sideline. I mean, he really had to get into that one and let it rip. Carnell Harley just couldn't get the toe down. Is trying to watch the replay here, and boy, it's tough to see. You can't see that left foot, so it's hard to tell
and
whether
you couldn't see the possession while he was coming to the ground, but a heck of an effort by Harley. Second down now, 20 to go, ball at the 47.
Rivers, you got to throw it again here.
Rivers and shotgun. West Hills in motion. It's a screen play to Hills. He has some blocking in front of him. Rolls to the right, makes a man miss. Falls over an IUP defender before being brought out of bounds at the 30-yard line. No, they're going to say 31. He stepped out of bounds a little early, but big play to make it a third and manageable.
Carnell Harley, a little upset with himself after not making the catch on first down, gets a pancake block on Geisinger, the cornerback on that play, put him on his rear on the turf. So great block on the outside by the wideout.
It's a third down and five. The ball at the Rock, 32-yard line. Rivers, the quarterback.
Sean Blitz.
Man to his left is Char Berry.
Showed an outside backer and the middle backer coming in on that play. So see what they change to here.
Three wide receiver set. A.J. Alexander in at tight end for the Rock. Rivers. Pumps across the middle, nearly intercepted. Stepping in front was Shaq Jones, couldn't haul it in.
And Shaq Jones, on the hard count, was the one who showed blitz up the middle. So nice job of the chess match there for IUP of getting him to drop back into coverage. So you have pre-snap, you have Rivers thinking he's coming on the blitz. Now all of a sudden he drops back right into the throwing lane.
We talked about it on the drive up. Sean Lutz aggressive on fourth down. You're probably looking at close to a 50-yarder here for Chapla. He opts to keep the offense on the field. So it'll be a fourth down and five, a 7-3 lead for Slippery Rock. Rivers the quarterback, Wes Hills to his right, three wide receivers to his left in the pocket. IUP sends five, Rivers escapes and is brought down shy of the line before being hit by a number of red jerseys. We do have a flag down on the play, but it appears to be a hold on Slippery Rock.
Yeah, it's going to be all for naught unless we got some type of illegal hands to the face by an IUP defender, but other than that, I think this is going to be a turnover on downs back to IUP.
Tell you what, Glenn, this is about as packed
as... Hold on. You got a couple of Rock offensive linemen signaling to the coaching staff.
It's going to be against... It's going to be against it. Hands to the face is the call against Slippery Rock. They will decline that penalty, which means IUP takes over. My point earlier, you cannot fit more people, I believe, on this side of the stadium. George Miller Stadium is packed on both sides. The Rock contingency out in numbers. But homecoming day here for the Crimson Hawks, they have come out to support this team. It's a rivalry matchup. These are the types of crowds that you generally expect.
Yeah, and on a beautiful October day, why not, man? You know, pack the stands all around the fence, along the end zones, and over here near the building. I mean, there's people everywhere.
Well, Rock not able to capitalize on the turnover. A turnover on downs gives it back to IUP. So Lenny Williams, after the interception on the last drive, will go to work with the ball at his own 32-yard line and trailing the Rock 7-3. It's a handoff to Evans. Evans up the middle. A few Rock defenders in on the tackler, but not before he gets a gain of four, bringing up a second and six.
Again, you go back to the penalties, Tyler. I mean, you had, as you said, a first and 10 at the 15-yard line, but then you back it up with 15 yards. On the very first snap, you have a hold. All of a sudden, you're 25 yards in the negative and unable to recoup from it.
Second down and five, they call it now. Williams in the shotgun. Rolling to his right, will keep it now. Comes up the middle, makes a man miss, gets across the 50-yard line, and steps out of bounds at the 45. A nice little pickup for Lenny Williams. He gets 20 on the play and an IUP first down.
Hey, I called it earlier in the quarter. You've had these Slippery Rock defenders selling out on Evans, the running back, and I think Lenny Williams finally realized it. So he gives a nice, hard, fake pitch to the outside and then keeps it himself and cuts up field, and there's nobody to make a tackle until he's 15 yards downfield.
First and 10 at the 45-yard line of Slippery Rock. Williams shotgun, hands it off. It's Evans with it, stretching it out to the left, but the Rock were there to greet him. Evans with a second effort gets back to the line and then some. Boy, you thought he was going to be tackled for a loss.
Yeah.
Little juke move, kept the feet going, and actually picks up two on the play.
And that's frustrating because you want to keep this IUP offense in third and long situations. And so whenever you have a chance there on first down for a three-yard loss to get him in the backfield, you got to make that tackle.
Second down and eight, ball at the 43-yard line. Three wide receiver set, a tight end in as well. Rock show blitz. Williams rolls to his right. Little flat pass. He finds his man in Walls, who steps out of bounds shy of the marker, but a nice pickup of five, bringing up a third down and short.
Yeah, and a lazy throw there by Lenny Williams, because if that throw is thrown with a little bit more oomph, then all of a sudden his receiver gets it sooner and has more time to cut upfield. But because he kind of lofted that one out there, the receiver had to kind of run underneath it and had no opportunity to get upfield. I mean, benefit the Rock defense, but still, just a not the sharpest throw by Lenny Williams.
A big third down, 7-3. The Rock lead. IUP with it. The ball at the Slippery Rock 39. Rock show blitz again. It's a handoff up the middle to Chris Temple. He bursts through for an easy first down and then some before being brought down at the 25-yard line. Another first down for the Crimson Hawks.
And that's just more luck than anything else, Tyler, because you had on that side of the formation a blitz coming from that linebacker, and sure enough, IUP's play design is off tackle that side of the field. So because of it, there's no one there behind the line of scrimmage to make that tackle. So
they do a little play action looking for Ricky Rogers on the slam pattern, overthrown though, and so that will bring up a second down and 10.
We'll see if the Rock defense can do it again. I mean, here you have IUP marching. They either come away with a turnover or force them to a field goal attempt.
Well, you have an intriguing matchup here at the bottom of the field. You have Ricky Rogers, again, the transfer from West Virginia. He's going up against
Eric Glover Williams.
Yeah, who is not the most, at least in height. You have a big height advantage. Williams now rolling to his left, and he'll throw to, well, it was intended for DeWine Walls, but came about 7 yards short of him. And that brings up a third down and 10 now.
Yeah, that's because of the pressure of Chad Kuhn right there coming in and really making Lenny Williams have to throw that one on the run. But, yeah, back to this matchup here. Yeah, it's a size advantage for IUP, but you're looking at two D1 transfers right there.
Yeah.
Glover Williams came from Ohio State, and the receiver coming from West Virginia. Glover Williams, actually, this is only his fourth game action in the secondary. He
yeah.
came here as a wide receiver.
They moved him to safety, now moving him to cornerback after the injury to KD Roberts. Oh, now it's a third down and 10. IUP trailing by four, 3:20 to go in the first. Williams solo in the backfield, receives a snap in the pocket. It's a check down, and he finds Justice Evans. Spin move, makes a man miss before being brought down by Brad Zafram, and he will have enough. It was a gain of 11 and a first down.
Got to make tackles. And so far, the tackling, especially on this drive in particular, has been poor by Slippery Rock, because that should have been, we should be looking at a fourth and two right now. But instead, because of poor tackling, a fresh set of downs.
It was the sophomore from Central Catholic, Justice Evans, who's been the primary back after the injury to Samir Bullock last week. And it's a handoff. No, Williams will keep it. He stays on his feet, and the ball is loose. It's on the ground, and the Rock are there to recover it.
A big hit. I didn't see it. It looked like maybe Dalton Holt.
Yep.
That's just a basic hat on the ball, and that thing went flying.
Yeah, and a nice job by the defensive lineman. Too often defensive linemen get excited, and they want to scoop that thing up. No, dive on it, cover it up, and get the ball back to your offense. So great hit by Dalton Holt. Good recovery by the DN.
Rock play takeaway again. Second turnover of the day for IUP. This one was a nice play by the strong safety, Dalton Holt, the sophomore from Ringgold, and so this was part of the reason why IUP did not come away with a win last week against Cal. Turnovers were an issue, and they're a problem again here today.
Beautiful. I mean, great job by this Rock defense of coming up with a big turnover deep in their own territory. Maybe take a shot here on first down offensively.
First down and 10. They've got two running backs in the backfield. Rivers in the pocket. Looking. He uncorks one deep. One-on-one coverage. Incomplete. He was looking for Carnell Harley.
Love it. I love the play call. I know it's incomplete. I don't care. I think it's a great chance after a turnover when you have the crowd, everyone's sitting on their hands again because of a turnover. Try to take a shot, take advantage of it, just unable to connect.
One-on-one coverage, Anthony Davis there for IUP. That brings up a second down and 10. The ball officially marked at the Rock 20-yard line, 2:37 to go. Slippery Rock working with a 7-3 lead. The two running back backfield there again, Jakar Berry and Braden Fuffman. It'll be the snap. RPO Screen play to Barry. Barry uses his speed to get a nice little gain before being brought out of bounds. Actually, they're going to mark it at the 25-yard line. Thought maybe he had a little more. Still a gain of five, bringing up a third and manageable.
Yeah, that's big. I mean, just to get some type of yardage. Usually after an incompletion on a first down play, you see a run on second down just to try to get some yardage. They go back to the air, but, I mean, let's be honest, that's essentially a run play right there with Jakar Barry coming out of the backfield.
So third down and five. The ball at the 25 of the Rock. Actually, it's a third down and six. Wes Hills back into the game in the backfield. Rivers facing pressure. Throws it up top and out of bounds. Either miscommunication or he just wanted to throw that one away. IUP sending, what, six guys there?
Yeah, they came with a heavy blitz, and there was miscommunication as Henry Litwin cut his route off and ran a little hitch, and it looks like Rivers was expecting some type of a hitch and go. So, yeah, miscommunication there. Luckily, no IUP defender there to corral it in.
Well, after another IUP turnover, the Rock not able to capitalize again. It's been the second one in as many drives, but still no points as a result of it. 7-3. The Rock lead 2:01 to go in the first. It'll be Jake Chaplin on to do the punting duties. Meanwhile, back to return for IUP, Mike Petropola. And here's the kick by Chaplin. Petropola,
holy
who
cow.
Was on the sideline, but it's booted way over his head, and actually it's going to go too far as the thing rolls into the end zone. Chaplin, who was standing about at his own 15-yard line, sent that thing into the end zone.
Still a net of 50.
Yeah, that's exactly what you're looking for. I don't think, no matter if you had Usain Bolt on coverage on the outside to try to sprint down there and down that at the one-yard line, that just wasn't going to happen. That was a really far punt.
Well, because he punts from his 25. It's going to come back out to the 25. So, I mean, yeah, you're still netting 50 yards on a touchback.
Right? Yeah.
that's not bad.
He's been impressive. The junior from Plum, he does it all on special teams, whether it's punting or kicking. He's got one of the strongest legs in the PSAC, the only guy right now to hit one longer than 44 yards. He's hit it from 50-plus on two occasions. So we'll bring up a first down and 10 for IUP. The ball at the 20-yard line. And the Crimson Hawks, after two back-to-back drives with turnovers, get the ball back for the fourth time this quarter. It'll be Lenny Williams now in more of a pistol formation with Chris Temple behind him. Snap is to Williams. Hand off to Temple, and he's not going anywhere. Looks like Timmy Vernick and company on the tackle and a small gain, if any, on the play.
Listen, in a 4-3 defense, your primary job as the middle linebacker is the run stopper. And so, obvious run formation pre-snap. Good read by Tim Vernick, shooting through that A-gap and making a tackle. So just that's exactly what you're looking for from your middle linebacker on that play.
Second down in the scoreboard, calls it 9, ball at the 21 of IUP. Williams with two wide receivers to his right, nothing to his left. It's a handoff again to Temple. Temple met again by Rock defenders, and on the tackle, among others, was again, actually that was Chad Kuhn there in some other white jerseys.
And it's funny, too, whenever you watch IUP play. It's not funny. I don't know why I said funny, but it's just it's interesting.
It could be humorous.
It could be funny. You know, you see so many teams nowadays with, you know, pulling guards, pulling centers, all this pre-snap motion. IUP, when they run the football, they just run forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's nothing fancy that the offensive line is doing. They're just putting a hat on a hat and trying to move the pile.
Brings up a third down and six. The ball at the IUP 24. Snap to Williams in the pocket, looking, goes across the middle and finds his man in Dwine Walls. But we've got a flag that was soared up in the air before reaching the ground. This one may be coming back.
I do love enthusiastic flag throws. I mean, as you said, that thing was launched.
It caught my attention.
An eligible man downfield?
Now we're going to see here, double checking the call. Well, Walls, who lined up on the right side, was the guy that caught the ball, but they were saying he was the ineligible receiver.
Well, he's got to report himself as eligible when he comes into the play.
Okay.
And if he didn't do that, then there you go.
A big mistake here for IUP. That makes a third down and six. Now a third down and 11. There are 30 seconds left in the first quarter, but only 15 on the play clock, so it looks like IUP's going to have to snap this, barring some unforeseen technical issue. Williams solo in the backfield. Four-man pressure from the Rock. They force Williams to scramble out of the pocket, still looking to make a play before just throwing it out of bounds as the Rock send four. Great coverage, and that forces a fourth down punt.
That's the beauty of it, Tyler. Whenever you can have your four down linemen get that kind of pressure on a quarterback, which allows you to drop seven back into coverage, it's such an advantage. But We talked pregame about Lenny Williams and his keeping his eyes downfield, and you saw it right there on that play. As he's scrambling, he's still looking downfield, looking for somewhere to get that ball. So, you know, this secondary, they're going to have their hands full against this quarterback because he's going to extend plays today.
Nico Ruiz is the punter for IUP, and back to return for Slippery Rock is Jermaine Wynn. Snap to Ruiz is good. Rugby-style punt is lifted up in the air. Wynn calling for the fair catch, and he'll reel it in at the 46-yard line as there is now 1 second left in the first quarter, which means the Rock will have to run a play.
And Tyler, we might have a little weather on the way as you look at the IUP TV crew down here putting bags over their equipment. We might have a little precipitation on the way.
Yeah, I mean, there are some scattered clouds. The sun that was that greeted us to begin the first quarter no longer really exists. There are some pockets of blue sky, but some darker clouds are more prevalent over George Miller Stadium. And so with 1 second to go in the first quarter and a 7-3 Rock lead over IUP, Roland Rivers and Wes Hills will team up together in the backfield for one snap before we head to the second. Rivers audibling a change at the line. Now hands it off to Hills. Hills bursts through the middle, gets the first down, rolling to the right side before being brought down by an IUP defender. That is the athleticism of Wes Hills that just gives you that ability to get the first down.
Huge burst. Nice block downfield by 13, Mike Merhot, too. Got to give credit where credit's due. Great to see the smaller-sized wide receiver downfield opening up a lane.
It's a 7-3 Rock lead as we'll begin the second quarter. Right after this, you're listening to Slippery Rock Football on The Rock Station, 97.7.
Attorney General number, PA4619.
Do we still have a Butler Agway squad?
Oh, hi there, little fella. My name's Michael from Schneider's Wow.
Okay. We'll get it in.
I'm cleaning your furnace. Your dad called us over to do a rejuvenation.
Rejuvenation?
It's where we deep clean your system.
Why?
Most breakdowns are caused by dust and dirt buildup.
What's that helmet you're wearing?
Oh, this? It's a miner's helmet.
It's got a light on it.
I need to be able to see every inch of your furnace.
I've never seen a repairman wear one of those.
Well, I take my job very seriously, young man.
How's the rejuvenation coming along, Mike?
Gonna need more time to get it done right, Mr. Schneider.
Hey, you're the guys from the commercials.
Yeah, that's right.
Where's your helmet?
I must have left it in the van.
283-8525.
Schneider's 1 hour. On time, day or night.
283-8525.
You're listening to Rock Football on The Rock Station, 97.7.
Second quarter action just about ready to get underway. Tyler Friel in for Bob Cupp alongside Glenn Thompson. The Rock working with a 7-3 lead, and they have the ball at the IUP 37-yard line. Rivers now hands it off to Hills. Spin move, gets back to the line of scrimmage, and then some as he picks up three. It'll bring up a second down and seven.
Yeah, so far before that carry, you had Wes Hills 9.7 yards per carry in that first quarter. So no surprise that to start off the second frame here, it's a handoff to Wes Hills.
And Roland Rivers in the first quarter, 6 for 11, 73 yards. Even the misses were not that bad. They were some throwaways and some checkdowns. It'll be a handoff to Hills, who bobbled it after he received it from Rivers, and so that was more a safety of possession as opposed to trying to find the green.
And you know what? I'm okay with that for running backs who take their time to make sure they corral the ball.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'd rather you maintain possession and lose a yard than fumble it away.
So you've got third down and seven. The ball's at the 34. We saw the Rock go for it in basically this same occasion, so you wonder potentially if this is two down territory or if they trust the foot of Jake Chaplow from this distance. It'll be Roland Rivers in the shotgun. They send Wes Hills in motion out of the backfield. They fake a check down. Rivers now with room to run. He'll pick up the first down. It gets on the other side of the 25-yard line and moves the chain. A nice call by the Rock.
Second time you've seen that pre-snap motion and then the hard pump fake by the quarterback. And again, you get that aggressive IUP defense all of a sudden just flowing that direction. This time Rivers pulls it down himself, goes upfield, and there's no one on that half of the field to make a tackle.
First and 10 at the 24. Rivers, pump fake, going deep, looking, and it is nearly caught.
Right through his hands.
The intended target was Austin Scott. They had it over top. A nice toss by Rivers, but just could not be corralled by the junior.
Tyler, that was a beautiful throw.
Yeah.
Beautiful throw. It came right here. All you had to do was make your basket and make the catch. And Austin Scott lets it go right through his forearms.
So that'll bring up a second down and 10. And when you're on the road playing teams like IUP, these are the plays that you have to make.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, you hope that one doesn't come back to bite them. But, man, that's a tough one to swallow right now.
Wes Hills in the backfield. Murhaut and Scott to Rivers left. It'll be Litwin to his right. Hand off to Hills. Juke move. Gets to the 20-yard line before being brought down by IUP defenders. I'm actually going to say the 21. So, again, another third down. This one relatively longer at about 7 yards to go.
I'm really happy with the combination of run and pass so far today by this Rock offense. You know, really doing a good job of keeping IUP honest defensively. And, you know, whether it be big plays or not, at least you're showing the capability to do both run and throw today.
The Rock now coming to the line. IUP asking their crowd to get loud on a third down in 7. Wes Hills, the man in the backfield. Rivers shotgun, steps back looking, facing pressure, and he is brought down. It is DeAndre Easterling. We talked about these defensive ends, and that was just one-on-one. Easterling beating his man on the right side.
Yeah, he beat Steve Gaviglia pretty easily and got into the backfield before anything really had a chance to develop downfield for a route to become open. So unfortunate that the such an easy free pass at your quarterback, but you bring on a reliable field goal kicker.
It's a 45-yarder. It's not a chip shot after that loss of, well, just about 7 yards on the play. Chapel on his first field goal attempt of the day. Snap is clean. Hold is down. Chapel's kick has the distance. It is up, and it is good. Jake Chapel extending this to a touchdown lead. And so the reliable kicker for the Rock make this a 7-point game. It's Slippery Rock 10, IUP 3. We're at George Miller Stadium, and we'll have more Rock football right here on the Rock Station, 97.7.
Make it Agway all the time.
I'd say just this one, Wax.
The Bucker Agway Route 68 just west of Butler reminds you it's time to
seed
and feed.
When I said that,
you
had the distance.
Like, ooh,
maybe
you
didn't.
You've got to do the work now. Pick up bags of fertilizer, lime, and don't forget the grass seed. Browse the
you're
pumpkins,
really
gourds, and mums with huge varieties ready to decorate. USA Pet
Foods. It would have been good
always.
From 47.
And order your wild bird feed by October 15th for pickup October 31st.
Yeah, the pick game's delayed.
Sauerkraut,
crocs
in every size, baskets, greeting cards, everything outdoors. Count on Butler Agway for seed, feed, and everything you'll need.
This is Trey Branford, defensive lineman at Slippery Rock University. And you're listening to Rock Football on the Rock Station.
Well, it was a Rock drive that began in IUP territory. Still, though, not finding the touchdown. They let one go in and out of the hands of Austin Scott that could have made this a different ball game.
Yeah, that's a big one. That's a 4-point swing right there, that drop. So, again, it's nice to be back up by a full touchdown, but could have been more. Should have been more.
Chapel boots it as the Rock lead 10-3, 12:08 to go in the second. There to return it is Quash Carter. Carter brings it up the field and is brought down around the 28-yard line. A late flag coming in on the backside of the play, so we'll see what this is.
I just don't feel like I can watch any level of football and not have a flag on a special teams play. It's just
you're not kidding. I mean, it's
anywhere you watch football, there's always a flag on a special teams play.
And you do wonder, I mean, this is a broader conversation maybe for not this particular time because we have a hold against IUP, but do you think we'll get to the point in football where the kickoff just no longer exists?
I mean, that's what Goodell wants in the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, he's trying to get rid of it, but you can't take it away. I mean, there's big plays and there's big momentum swings off of those kick returns, but
it just seems like when you see some of the concussions and when you see all the steps that they're taking, right. I mean, you've got two guys coming after each other at full speed ahead. It's a dangerous play. It's an exciting play. Like you said, you can see some big plays out of it. But you just, you know, you see some of the rules and how things are going. It just makes you curious. Lenny Williams in the backfield all by himself. Three wide receivers to his left. He's looking now and will find his man. It's a tight end that he connects with on the reception is Grant Smith, and they get it for a gain of about 7.
I was going to say, watch out for potentially a quarterback draw in that situation. Whenever they empty out the backfield, they're going to try to set up some type of run play for Lenny Williams later in the game off of that.
Second down and 3. IUP at their own 25-yard line. It'll be now three men, to Williams' right side as IUP moves left to right. Williams in the pocket. He finds pressure, sees pressure, cannot escape pressure. And in on the sack for the Rock was Tim Suave, And Lenny Williams, you thought he got up fine, but
that's why I said, oh, yeah.
Yeah, you get some of those lower body tackles, and you never know which way the ligaments are going
to
turn.
Man, you don't want them to get hurt. If you're going to beat IUP, you want to beat them at their best.
Exactly. Third down and 9. Ball at the IUP 19-yard line. And the Rock not doing anything special there. Maybe just a cross blitz up front, but cross pressure.
Just a little stunt. Yeah, a little stunt on the line of scrimmage.
Four men, wide receivers. To Williams left is Justice Evans. Williams in the pocket. Steps back and looks. The Rock send 4. Williams now feeling pressure again. Rolling to his right, extending the play. Will now look along the sidelines. Found Ricky Rogers, who could not corral it. Coming in on late pressure for the Rock was Tyree Spearman.
The key to that play, Tyler, was Tim Vernon. So whenever Lenny Williams popped out to his right outside of the pocket, Tim Vernon had a chance to either go after him or stay on his man behind him. Stays with his man, because as soon as he would have came up on Lennon Williams, would have popped it right over his head. Easy first down. So nice job of staying disciplined by Vernick, staying on his coverage and then allowing the rest of the defense to come up there and make the play.
And we've just talked about more of a mature feel to this defense than what we saw last year, and it's plays like that that stick out. Ruiz, rugby-style punt. Another high one, not necessarily far. It lands at the 50, takes an IUP roll to the 41-yard line, and that's where the Rock will set up. With rugby-style punting, there's always a chance it feels like it could be blocked.
Yeah, and he tried to flop a little bit there, but no call, and good no call by the officials on that one. So here we go again, though. I mean, how long are you going to test this?
Yeah.
You've had 2 turnovers. You've had really good field position, yet you're only up 7.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at some point, you got to really start to take advantage of these things. Here you are again. Ball on your own 44. Terrific field position. This one has to get in for 6.
And we talked before the game. Was this going to be a high score? Or was this going to be a battle of 2 defenses? Right now, we've seen the latter. It'll be first down and 10 for the Rock. It was not at the 41, actually. They say it went out at the 44-yard line. So the Rock will get it back. As Glenn said, they lead by 7, 10-3 with 10:30 to go in the second. Rivers pumps a pass. Now we'll take it up the middle. Secures the ball. Gets a few extra yards. Gets down to the 49-yard line of IUP. A gain of 7.
And something to note right there, the outside corner, number 7, J.R. Stevens, was even pre-snap, he started creeping in towards the line of scrimmage, was expecting run, and he left a huge gap between him and Henry Litwin. See if the coaching staff caught that and see if he can't exploit it. If he's going to take that kind of chance pre-snap and put that much gap, I have total confidence in Litwin being able to burn him downfield.
One of the IUP defenders slow to get up was Dondrea Tillman. He's a part of that dynamic duo at defensive end. And coming in to replace him will be Malik Allen, the 6'2", 215 redshirt junior from Buffalo, New York. Second down and short. Do you go long here? Do you think about it?
Yeah. Yes, and again, I think you read what Seven's doing.
They've got a 3 wide receiver set, tight end.
Look how far towards the middle of the field he is.
Rivers will instead just hand it off to Wes Hills, who powers his head down, gets close to the first down marker. I don't think they're going to give it to him,
short,
though.
Yeah, he's short a little bit. But, again, I'm going to be watching that now for a few snaps here because, man, if he's going to cheat that far towards the middle of the field, at some point they're going to expose that.
Litwin, the sole wide receiver on the short side of the field. Cirillo in at tight end. They've got Jermaine Wynn and Carnell Harley on the far side of the field. They bring in. Looks like it's Jakar Berry for this third down. They hand it off to Berry. Berry bursts through, uses his speed. He's going to be one-on-one. Works to the 25-yard line, and there to tackle him and bring him down after a big gain was Shaq Jones, the third guy on the depth chart, but he's seen enough action. Jakar Berry making moves.
Good to see Chris Larson back in the game out there. But also, yeah, I mean, that play right off the right between center and guard off the left side of the line. Nice job by the interior of just exposing a huge gap. And what's beautiful about Jakar Berry is that he's a little guy, gets lost behind that line of scrimmage, and all of a sudden just explodes through the hole.
First down and 10 for the Rock. Ball at the IUP 23-yard line. They again knocking on the doorstep, but they've only found the end zone once today, and that was on the first drive. Rivers pocket looking, keeps it up the middle. Design quarterback draw. They pick up a nice gain, and we'll call it a gain of 4, if not 5.
And that was the benefit that Bob and I were talking about last week of getting Colton Robb back. And on that play right there, from the right guard position, Pools gets out in front of Roland Rivers and is able to close off one of the linebackers to allow running room for the quarterback. So to have such an athletic body at guard is such a benefit for this run game.
Second down and five. The ball at the 18-yard line of IUP. The Rock leading by 7, 8:30 to go in the second. Rivers, the quarterback, Jakar Berry to his left. It'll be a handoff to Berry. Berry brought down early in the backfield. And on the tackle appeared to be Damon Lloyd for IUP.
Yeah, he just shot through there right at the snap and was kind of laying at the feet of Jakar Berry whenever he got the handoff and was able to trip him up. So that could have been a much worse play. So I think Slippery Rock happy with the result on that one.
Yeah, Berry getting a gain of one on the play. A.J. Alexander, the tight end, moves into the slot position for wide receiver set. IUP showing pressure.
They're giving him the corner. Get him out there on a corner route. That safety is closing off the middle of the field, so they're going to give him that.
One-on-one matchup on the far side of the field, or I should say the wide side of the field, Austin Scott versus J.R. Stevens. It'll be a toss play instead. Berry trying to get near the line of scrimmage, and he'll get back to it, but going to be well short of the first down marker. Not bizarre play call, but third down and five, don't know if I would have went with a speed option there.
I disagree with outside runs on fourth and middle range.
Yeah.
You know, I'm okay if you want to try on like a fourth and two to try to catch the defense off guard, sure. Fourth and five, I mean, if you're going to run the ball, it's got to be up the middle.
Yeah. Well, this will bring up Jake Chapla yet again. Chapla now taking a look here, probably about a 34-yarder for the left-footed kicker. Snap down, kick is up, and this one is good. And so the leg of Jake Chapel providing 6 points today as another three go through right there. So with 6:51 to go in the second, Slippery Rock leading IUP 13-3. You are listening to Slippery Rock Football on The Rock Station 97.7.
That's scoring drive took 3 minutes, 39 seconds. Lovely Express, Kevin
Carr, watch a go city. Drive in, drive by. This rivals Randy and Bob. Check your oil, check your fluids, and get your paint. Fast, friendly service for cars, trucks, and SUVs. Wipe for blades or filters, check your tire pressure. Locally owned, nationally known. No appointment necessary. Lovely Express, Kevin Carr, watch a go city. Drive in.
Rock football on the station that rocks. The Rock Station, 97.7.
Slippery Rock leading 13-3. Tyler Friel with you alongside Glenn Thompson. 6:51 to go in the second quarter. It was a 7-play, 40-yard drive that resulted in 3 points from Jake Chapla. And so the Rock now working with a 10-point lead at IUP.
Good to get some points. I would have liked more. I feel like you've left 8 points on the board now these past two possessions.
Boomer from Jake Chapla, well positioned right at the 5-yard line. It's Kashaw Carter on the return. Sprints up the middle, but coverage there from the Rock. Dalton Scott, the lead tackler. And this will start at the 25-yard line for the Crimson Hawks.
Yeah, as you said, Dalton, the first one there to make the tackle. But then, man, did Mark Carter come in there and finish him off. I mean, hey, if you're going to be aggressive, you're going to keep your feet turning, that means we're still allowed to tackle you. So Mark Carter comes in there and lays the lumber on him.
That's an IUP offense that has shown glimpses at times, but two turnovers and a few possessions that really haven't gone anywhere. The Rock have done a nice job of holding this veteran IUP offense in check. Right now, Lenny Williams, 6 of 13 for 75 yards and one interception, as well as one fumble. It'll start it at the 26 and hand it off to Chris Temple, who puts his head down and gets to the 30-yard line. This 5'11", 225-pound redshirt senior. That's a big dude.
The thing is that you just – we got a player down.
Yeah.
IUP was trying to run some tempo, and that's Zach Bader trying to get off the field. The thing is, don't get lulled to sleep. Right now you have an IUP offense that's just doing a lot of ground and pound right up the middle. Beware of a play action coming off one of those formations here soon.
Yeah, we really haven't seen IUP take many shots down the field. Yeah. And they are without their leading wide receiver, JoJo Gause. He was hurt a few weeks ago, didn't play at all last week. There was some speculation whether or not he would be involved in the offense this week. We haven't seen him out on the field. So you factor him and an injured Samir Bullock. This is an IUP offense playing without two of their better players. Of course, the Slippery Rock technically has their third-string quarterback out on the field as well.
True. So, injuries happen. Yeah, injuries happen to everyone. Here's Lenny Williams. Pocket, they hand it off to Chris Temple up the middle again, and he's met by a number of white jerseys. Tim Vernick in on the tackle. Looked like Tim Suave there as well.
Make that
Jeff Marks.
To set up your play-action passing game, it is a frustrating process because you have to do a lot of this. You have to stick to your run game. You have to chip 2 or 3 yards at a time because eventually you're going to get the defense to start cheating up. So, for The Rock, stay disciplined.
It's a 3rd down and 4. The ball at the IUP 32-yard line. Rock showing pressure. Williams, the quarterback, sidecars Temple. Pocket looking, has time. Now forced to scramble, rolling to his left. Still looking down the field. Will now chuck it, and it is picked off! Kyle Hall tipped it to himself and pulled it down. His 2nd interception of the day, and the Rock play takeaway.
Beautiful tip to himself and sticking with it. But again, Tyler, you have the 4 down linemen getting pressure, forcing Lenny Williams out of the pocket, and great discipline by the secondary of not cheating up and getting after him, staying back in coverage. Because as we said, this is a quarterback that when he extends plays, keeps looking downfield. So if you stay back in coverage, he's got nothing to do with it then. Great job by the Rock defense.
3rd turnover of the day by this Rock defense. 2nd interception, and they have both gone to the hands of Kyle Hall. So another possession again, though, despite these turnovers, Glenn, only a 10-point game. These are the types of drives where you try to go for the throw. Here's Rivers. Play action. Pocket looking. Going deep. He's got a man in Litwin one-on-one coverage. They got tangled up, and we've got laundry. I think we're going to get a pass interference play.
Which I don't know why it's coming from the back judge and not the official.
The guy that was right watching the play.
But, hey, whatever. And of note, Tyler, we actually do have a little bit of a rain coming down here. Just light rain coming down as we have some umbrellas popping out here in the stands.
Indeed, it is pass interference against IUP. Again, not the NFL, so we're getting 15 yards here, but a Rock 1st down.
You know, though, there's some teams in all levels of football, Cal in this division in particular, part of their game plan is to throw it deep and just buy 15 yards.
Hey, it works.
I disagree with that. I don't think that's how you get your yardage, but in today's day and age, you do it, and you buy yourself a free 1st down and 15 yards.
What I also like about that play, Rivers signaling to a guy to go deep. You want to talk about a guy that's getting more and more comfortable with his role. I think that's what you're seeing from Rivers right now. It's another play action. Rivers in the pocket throws a bullet, and it is picked off. It is on the return. IUP, they've got room to run. Taking it down the sideline is Anthony Davis, running to the 40-yard line, and is finally brought down at the 45. Roland Rivers. And we're going to get a late flag here as one of the IUP defenders tossed Henry Litwin to the ground. But right there on the interception was indeed Anthony Davis just overthrowing his mark.
I don't think overthrown. I think miscommunication.
Okay.
It looked like was it Litwin or Merhot, the intended receiver?
I want to say that was Merhot.
That's what I thought. It looked like Merhot ran a post while Rivers was expecting him to run a corner.
Yeah.
Because they weren't even close to each other. So it looks like miscommunication there between quarterback and wideout.
When you're the offensive coordinator or the offensive play caller and you see the success of at least one one-on-one matchup that resulted in pass interference, do you think they have a tendency to throwing the long ball a little often? Do you think they get a bit of an itch?
So I think more so what happened there is that you have a Rock offense that has tried the dink and dunk, and they only have 13 points to show for it.
Yeah.
So they came out on that possession and said, all right, let's just air it out. Let's see what happens. See if we can burn them deep. It just didn't work out this time.
So turnover, and then another turnover. Gives the ball back to IUP. They have it at the 30-yard line for a 1st down and 10. It is at the Crimson Hawks 30. And it'll be a handoff again to Chris Temple. Bowls up the middle, past the 35-yard line, and a gain of 6.
Have we not seen Justice Evans in...
Well, he just checked in there. He was a 2-man backfield, and he swung off to the left. But they seem to be relying now on Chris Temple. Again, a bigger guy. You look at the differences in frame. Justice Evans, 5'7", 172. Chris Temple, 5'11", 225. They're two different styles, at least physically, in terms of how they play the position. We have Lenny Williams now in the shotgun. His sidecar is Evans. He'll hand it off to him. A burst of speed beyond the 1st down marker. And he nearly, actually, he stays alive. They say he didn't go down. It looked
looked as all indications were, he hit the ground. No whistle was blown, and he extends the play, getting it down to the Rock 46-yard line, a first down for IUP.
That's why it's not a cliche when you hear coaches say, play to the whistle. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why right there, because that kind of stuff is what happens.
And on the replay, looks like he landed right on top of a Rock defender, and neither knee nor elbow touched the ground, and so IUP with a big burst will now have a first down and 10. Williams looking deep. He chucks it long, and it is nearly picked off, but we're going to get another flag. It looks like pass interference will be the call, and we'll see who it's against. As Sean Lutz believes there's a reason for it to be IUP, and it's going to be a hold against
Against, yeah, I got a hold against Glover Williams. I saw it.
I would agree with that as well.
You could see the jersey the whole way behind him, so he got beat and just grabbed on, went for a ride.
So another Rock penalty will move the ball up 10 yards for IUP. Indeed, that is the call. It is a hold against Glover Williams. So first down and 10 now for the Crimson Hawks. The ball moved up to the 36-yard line.
And, hey, you know what? If you're beat, why not? You know, I mean,
yeah.
if you know you're going to give up an easy touchdown, well, shoot, grab on and just, it's almost like a foul in basketball. Mm-hmm. You just make sure he doesn't make it, you know?
Three wide receivers set to Williams' left. Chris Temple, the running back, they handed off to Temple up the middle. And, boy, you could pretty much see, we've seen this story before, gain of 2 or 3 yards from Temple and a second down and 7.
I still feel like they are determined on setting something else up, because this entire drive, Tyler, we've seen trips to the left with runs up the middle. So they are trying to get the Rock defense familiar with this formation so they can throw some type of scheme off it later in the game.
Same formation, trips to the left of Williams. Ball at the 34-yard line of the Rock. Williams, play action, looking deep. Little pump fake, and it's a wide-open IUP receiver. Don McNeil gets down to the 3-yard line before being knocked out of bounds by Glover Williams. And a first down from IUP.
Not sure what happened there. I'm not sure if Glover Williams is supposed to have safety help over the top or if it's just blown coverage. Either way, he was wide open.
He went the wrong direction. Looking at the replay, McNeil goes to his left, and you have Glover Williams going to his right as a handoff up the middle is stopped by the Rock defense. And so no gain, bringing up a second down and goal, ball at the 3-yard line.
IUP trying to get a little tempo there. They got up to the ball quickly.
Yeah, they caught me off guard.
Yeah, trying to punch that one in.
So second down and goal. We've seen this story before. The Rock held them to a field goal the last time the Crimson Hawks were inside the 5-yard line. We'll see what this particular drive entails. Williams with Temple in the backfield. Two wide receiver set. They will hand it off up the middle. It's Temple again, bouncing it to the outside, but he's not going to get it again. They stop short. The Rock defense there to corral him, leading the charge on that was Kyle Hall involved in the action.
And again, this is what's baffling to me, Tyler, is the fact that why isn't Evans running the ball more? He has by far been the more efficient runner mm-hmm. today for IUP, yet Temple continues to get these carries and only get 2 or 3 yards at a time.
He'll stay in the game. Short yardage situation. They actually say they lost one. It's moved back close to the 5-yard line, but we'll call it third down and goal from the 4. Williams hands it off to Temple again, right side, and he didn't get it. The Rock there to stop him short, and now Paul Tortorella left with an interesting decision.
Kyle Hall came flying up from his safety spot on that one and was able to put a big shoulder into the ball carrier, stop his forward progress, and then the rest of the defense makes the tackle. I mean, look at this defense right now. You got a bunch of guys, hands on knees, hands on hips.
Mm-hmm.
They're worn down. So a timeout here, I think, for an injury concern.
It looked like Tristan McDonald as well as Zach Bader slow to get up on the play. But Tortorella has decided to go with the field goal unit, which I would agree with that decision. In a 13-3 game, you can make this a one-possession game. And with the lack of success IUP has had inside the 5-yard line, really no indication that they would be able to convert on a fourth try at it. So the kicker is Dylan Sarka. It'll be Mike Petropaula to hold, and the long snapper
is
Drew Stout.
The kicker just came back in and whispered something to the holder. Beware of some type of fake here.
Well, we saw IUP pull a fake punt against Mercyhurst, so Tortorella has these tricks in the playbook. Ball yet to be snapped. Stout doing the snapping. And they're milking this clock
here. Well, they're
here.
Running the game clock, too.
Yeah, we've got about a minute and change left here. In the second, 3 seconds left on the play clock. Now they're going to take a delay of game.
Wow.
They didn't call timeout. Tortorella seemed very content not to do that. Actually, my guess is maybe Sarka felt uncomfortable being that close to it.
I mean, really.
Well, and if you're Sean Lutz, do you even think about declining this? Because if this is a strategy play where Sarka's comfortable being closer, uncomfortable being closer to it, we'll see what they say.
We'll take it.
I mean, they'll take it. I mean, this eliminates maybe a trick play of sorts. So it moves it back.
Actually, I'd be more concerned about a trick play.
Because now there's more room.
There's more space.
Well, the ball's officially at the 7-yard line. The clock at 58 seconds has come to a stop. And now Sarker will make this a, what are we looking at here, 24-yarder? And here's the snap. It's down. The kick is up. And that kick has all the indications it's good. The officials raise their arms, and they concur. So with 55 seconds left in the second quarter, and the rain beginning to become more steady at George Miller Stadium, Slippery Rock leads IUP 13-6. And we'll be back with more Rock football right after this here on The Rock Station 97.7.
You take pride in your business, but sometimes it requires some help to keep it going and growing. At Next Tier Bank, you'll find the guidance and expertise you need. In fact, we offer everything from business checking to creative lending solutions to insurance. Simply put, Next Tier Bank is everything you want in a financial partner. And it's the way we've been doing things for generations. It's your future. We want to help you get there. Welcome to Next Tier. NextTierBank.com, 800-262-1088, member FDIC.
I'm Kyle Hall, also known as OG, playing DB for Slippery Rock University, and you're listening to Rock Football. Go Rock.
I'm Jake Chapla, kicker here at Slippery Rock, and you're listening to Rock Football.
On the Rock Station, 97.7.
Those two guys, at least particularly today, apropos to be the liner coming into this, Kyle Hall with two interceptions, Jake Chapla with two field goals, but it was a field goal right there by Dylan Sarka that made this a 7-point game, 13-6 after the 8-play, 63-yard drive that took just a little over 4 minutes. Now back on the receiving end of it and taking a knee in the end zone is Slippery Rock, so they'll get the ball back with 55 seconds to go in the second quarter.
And three timeouts.
And three timeouts, so they'll see if they can make something happen. They will get the ball to begin the second half as well, and you can look at play spots like this, and this is where you go back and forth about how aggressive do you want to be as a head coach, especially you're on the road, you're working with a lead, but you have an opportunity to go back-to-back drives and get points. I'm not saying it could happen, but these are the types of things you have to evaluate as the head coach.
On first down here, you throw some type of screen, and if you break a big one, then all of a sudden it's all systems go.
Well, you got Wes Hills in the backfield. Right. We've seen him really be the primary screen guy this year because of his ability to make people miss. Rivers in the pocket. It is a five and out. They find Jermaine Wynn at the 30-yard line, and so he'll get out of bounds. They burn 5 seconds on that play, and we'll have the ball at the 30-yard line of IUP.
Well, we saw Chapla make one this direction from 45, so with that being said, you got to figure you got to get to about the 30-yard line, somewhere in that area.
My guess is they'll try from anywhere from 45 to 50. Rivers in the pocket now going to the sideline. Finds Henry Litwin, who gets out of bounds right at the 40-yard line. Actually, they'll say the 39, but that moves the chains with 45 seconds to go. Both plays taking 5 seconds on this drive.
If you have corners 10, 15 yards off the line of scrimmage, why not? I mean, run those quick little hitters on the sideline all day.
Wes Hills remaining in the backfield for wide receiver set. Rivers in the pocket. Looking, check down to Hills. He brings it in at the 45. Makes a guy miss. Picks up the first down on the other side of the 50. Clock will stop at 37. Once the chains get set, it'll start. And Sean Lutz decides to take a timeout. You were suggesting to do it as well.
I should be a coach, right?
I really think you should be.
I have a headset. Yeah. I'm not hooked into the same thing they are, though.
The language that is used is it's colorful up here.
Different vocabulary.
It really is. Some things that the FCC may not be happy about.
So, I like what they did. What they did there on those three plays. You come out and you run outside, quick hitters. So now all of a sudden you have an IUP defense that's going to start stretching towards the sideline. So what do? A little running back option towards the middle. Nobody's there, and so just a great job of kind of changing things up and getting the defense to commit to one
portion of the field and coming back the opposite direction.
Yeah, this was a drive that started at the 25-yard line, now sitting at IUP's 48-yard line. So it's been able, they've moved the ball efficiently. It's been just under 20 seconds, 18 seconds officially so far have been used on the drive. 37 on the clock. As you mentioned, two timeouts.
Lightning in the area.
And so with 37 seconds to go, they're going to have to delay this game. And is it a half hour or 20 minutes, something like that? I'm sure we'll be looking
at half an hour.
Half hour?
I think so.
Okay, well, we'll take a break here, and we'll get an idea of what we're looking at time-wise. But with 37 seconds left in the first half, it's a Rock 13-6 lead over IUP. And we'll be back with more Rock football right here on the Rock Station 97.7.
Butler Steel Supply, 145 Valvoline Road in East Butler. Whether it's commercial or residential, they can do it.
Just
need a unique job done?
Bucks.
Whether it's fabrication or welding, shaping, punching, or need something custom, Butler Steel Supply can and will do it for you. Custom fire rings, toys to tanks, it's Butler Steel Supply. ButlerSteelSupply.com.
As I hold on to this metal pipe.
Yeah.
Rockin' the Rock. Slippery Rock University football is found right here on the Rock Station 97.7.
So it's a 13-6 Slippery Rock lead over IUP with 37 seconds to go in the first half, but lightning in the area has caused this one to go to delay, and we have confirmed that it is a 30-minute delay. So
I have I have 10 after 3, so at the earliest we're looking at 3:40.
And so what if you weren't able to catch that, both coaches have agreed essentially to make this the halftime.
Yep.
So you'll have a 30-minute period here as a break between for both teams, and then you they'll play the full 37 seconds at the end of this half and then roll it right into the third quarter.
I think
that's the right call to make.
Yeah, but again, that's assuming no more lightning.
Yeah, and I believe you're going to have a reset. If there's at least this, I'm using WPIAA rules here, PIAA rules, that after every lightning strike, you reset that to another 30 minutes. I'm assuming that the PSAC is going to operate the same way. So, I mean, as we take a look at this game here so far, it's been intriguing. We've seen turnovers from both sides, but not a ton of points. 13-6, it's been field goals, four field goals between both teams, and only one touchdown. And that happened on the first drive of the game for Slippery Rock.
You know, it's as Slippery Rock right now, you feel good, but you also got a little bit of a pit in your stomach.
Yeah.
Because you easily, I mean, that scoreboard could read something along the lines of 24, 27 to 10, as mm-hmm. opposed to 13 to 10. You've definitely had your chances, or I'm sorry, 13 to 6. You've definitely had your chances to be up big in this game. But at the same time, you are up.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're here.
A lead's a lead.
Yeah, it's IUP's homecoming. It's number 14 team in the country. You're on the road. So, yes, you're up. You're up by a touchdown. That's good. But, man, you start to think about we could be up a little bit more right now.
I mean, and one that stands out is you had a dropped touchdown in the back of the end zone. I mean, right through the hands of Austin Scott, beautifully thrown ball by Roland Rivers. They settled for a field goal, but when you look at a situation like that, I mean, you could be at a game now that's 17-6 as opposed to 13-6. But moving away from the negatives and moving to the positive, this Rock defense, a little bend but don't break on certain occasions, but they've remained very stout. They've done a nice job of holding Lenny Williams and this rushing attack in check.
To me, the more impressive part has been the discipline by the outside defenders, because, again, we've seen Lenny Williams time and time again roll out towards the sideline, and instead of vacating their assignment and going after Lenny Williams, they've stayed back in coverage because Williams wants to throw the ball. He's not a runner by trade. He wants to throw the football. So by staying disciplined, staying on your man, and allowing the rest of your defense to continue in pursuit, they have taken away that deep ball extended play that Lenny Williams has become known for.
Lenny Williams, so far today, is 7 for 15, 106 yards, and two interceptions, a passer rating of 79.4. You look on the other side of the coin, Slippery Rock's Roland Rivers, 9 of 16, 100 yards, one interception. He has a passer rating of 96.3. The rushing attack at Wes Hills is the leading rusher for the Rock, seven attempts for 37 yards. His long of the day is of 17. Jakar Berry, 3 rushes for 26 yards, and Roland Rivers has carried the ball 8 times for 24 yards. They have a total of 87 rushing yards on the day. Meanwhile, for IUP, Justice Evans on 7 rushes has 40 yards. You mentioned going to Chris Temple, and I look at the averages here between both these running backs. Chris Temple, 10 attempts for 33 yards, an average of 3.3. Justice Evans on those 7 attempts for 40 yards, 5.7. I mean, we're talking about a nearly 3-yard difference.
And it's just not even close, in my opinion. I mean, 2 yards is 2 yards as far as the average, but I just feel like Evans has been the more explosive runner. Evans has been the one that's been able to get himself out of trouble a little bit better.
You just feel like he has the potential to make a big play when
he's
in the game.
Yes.
And this was, if you go back to last year, IUP with Samir Bullock, I mean, you had the stats. This guy went off, and it was really primarily done on runs up the middle. And we talked about the difference that this Rock defense has had. And it was a given almost that it was going to be better this year. But we've seen them take some major steps in terms of progress for how they have stifled teams' rushing attacks.
Almost anything is better than last year. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, no offense to last year's Rock team, but, man, almost anything's better. But, yeah, I mean, the step they did take, it's been a big step as far as, again, I think it's just it's assignment defense and knowing your roles and plugging gaps on run plays, staying on your man on pass plays. Everything that they're doing is not so much physically better than IUP, it's smarter. They're just playing disciplined, mentally smart football.
From around the PSAC, Mercyhurst with a surprise upset over Edinburgh, a final score of 24-6. Yeah, the Lakers responding and taking down a Fighting Scots team that was just stifled offensively. Hey, that Mercyhurst defense had shown really game after game to be pretty tough. The Rock, though, lighting it up in terms of points last week, and they held Edinburgh in check to only 6. Millersville over Lock Haven, 24-6, a final score there. Elsewhere in the PSAC.
Is that 2 wins for Millersville, I think? Didn't they win last week, too?
I think so.
All right, man.
Westchester currently trailing in the second quarter, Bloomsburg 7-3, so some intriguing matchups going on all across the PSAC. But of note, Edinburgh falls, and now the West gets even more interesting than it already was before. Well, Bob Cupp had an opportunity to sit down with some Rock defenders, and if you're just joining us or just got in the car, Slippery Rock is leading IUP 13-6 with 37 seconds left to go in the second quarter, and you're wondering why we're talking as opposed to not calling the game out. Action. We are in a lightning
play.
They
are still playing. We just don't care.
The refs and the coaches have acknowledged and rather recognized this 30-minute delay as their halftime. So when we come back, we'll have the final 37 seconds of action in the second quarter, and then we'll roll right into the third quarter action. We've got a fun one ahead of us, so make sure you stick with us as you are listening to Slippery Rock Football right here on The Rock Station 97.7.
Butler Steel Supply. What do they do? Everything. When it comes to steel,
how long does this break?